Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. The Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 313 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Angela Peterson. Thanks, Angela.
Thank you, Angela.
Thanks, Angela.
Today, we will be discussing part three of chapter five of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Fallen Warrior. So make sure that you've read the chapter and you're ready to keep constant vigilance through the details. It's a sad tweet. But before we begin, let's go to Meg's Mouse Tales for some weekly profit news.
So the Wizarding World of Harry Potter every year does a special collector's edition wand,
and they just dropped
the new one. I'm actually not really that impressed.
Oh, really? It's so pretty. It's very dark arts.
Yeah, it makes me think of a Death Eater mask.
Mm-hmm. I think I just, like, I so loved that one that they did that was, like, the cauldron that, like, I don't think anything can top that one going forward.
It's very pretty.
It is pretty. I don't think I need it, though. You know,
I'm shocked. We'll get down there.
Yeah, right.
We'll get down there.
But do I need a wand? Literally, you ask us that every single trip. But do I need a wand? And then you're holding like three boxes in your hands, and I'm like, I don't know, Megan. Do you? And then you look at me, and then I say, yeah. And then we all get wands. It's literally the same conversation at Ollivander's every single time. And also, I have never bought a wand anywhere besides Ollivander's, I just want to say. Tiffany knows the owner.
I don't subscribe to any other wand makers. I just need to clarify right now. I need to clarify right now that I said that I don't need the collector's edition.
Oh,
wand.
Okay. Well, who are we after this trip?
I don't know yet. I need to. I need to pick, you know? I'm kind of thinking Draco. I don't have Dracos.
I don't know if I don't know who I have at all besides Dumbledore.
Yeah, I need to go through.
I gotta look.
You should get Nicholas Flamel. That'd be cool.
That would be really cool. I need a stand, like a pretty proper...
Like a display.
Yeah.
Me too. So anyway, it's very pretty, but I think that I am going to skip the limited edition wand this time.
It's not grabbing you?
Yeah. Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flick Cast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going, and it gives you access to all of our exclusive extras. Thank you all so much for your support. Send Potter stories or any fun stuff, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
How does Mad Eye talk?
Very, very strict and to the point.
That sounded like Hagrid.
Yeah,
I guess they're kind of similar, but Hagrid is nicer.
Catherine, it's time for the recap.
Is your throat okay?
No,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, Hermione and Kingsley make it back to the Burrow. They're alive. And don't forget, Harry's the best hope we have. Trust him.
Oh, well, how little we live in this direction. Yeah, we're
not,
Remus.
We're not really trusting him, are
Professor
we?
Professor R.J. Lupin.
We find out it was Snape who cursed off George's ear. He's holy now. Mr. Weasley and Fred make it back too. Ron and Tonks come back. And when Bill and Fleur come back, we find out some terrible news.
Oh, man.
How does he start that? Jack, what does he say? How does he start that?
Why am I blanking?
Was blown to smithereens. I can't remember how he stops. Something about the king of Halloween.
The king of Halloween has died. Oh, no, the skeleton Jack has died. That's what he says.
Skeleton Jack.
Oh!
Tis the season, folks.
All right, on to today. We all cheers to Mad-Eye. Sips for sadness.
Right now?
Pour one out.
Cheers. Our glasses are up. Katie makes sure that
everybody cheers us.
I'm OCD.
Take a drink.
Lupin.
Moody would really despise what I'm drinking.
Yeah, he absolutely would not.
Peach wine. Lupin thinks Harry is a fool, I tell you.
Yeah, peach wine.
And Harry's a little bit of a seer.
As I told you many moons ago.
He's a seer.
You're a seer, Harry. All right, kiddos. Well.
What's wrong?
Fred asks, what is wrong to Mr. Weasley? And he confirms to him, Mad-Eye, dead. And
it's like so sad how just like to the point that is.
Well,
like,
yeah, I don't know how. I don't know what else you would do, though.
I know.
You know? And I think, I mean, when telling Alana about my grandma passing, I just told her. Just flat out. There's no getting around it. There's no sleep thing that I tried to say. Yeah. It's just not. I just went to the point. And, you know, parent the way you will, but I just didn't want her to have. She can handle it.
Right.
You know, it's about knowing what your kid can handle. And, you know. I don't know if a lot of people know this because I didn't until I started dating an Irish man. but like death is very much viewed differently now by me because of who my family is and the Irish culture and the way that death, like the person, is celebrated. And it's just so much different than how I grew up. And I feel much more comfortable now surrounding the topic, which I wasn't before. That's
good. Yeah.
It's been good because I've been to many a wake. I'm telling you what happens when you have a big family.
But I have a small family, but it's just like grandparent after grandparent. And yeah great aunts and on. I think it's because, like, my parents were a little older, so, like, I just have a lot of older family.
Yeah. Yeah, that's understandable. So, yeah, like I said, he's to the point, and the twins' grins turn to grimaces of shock. And usually the twins can kind of take a situation and spin it, but there's no joking with this. The moment is given... it's full respect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's not really a way to spin the tension with the death in this moment. You know, I mean, we can talk about later on. They can be more openly be like, oh, he was the toughest. So, you know, Voldemort was going to go after him first. I mean, they said that, but it was more of like, this is what's going on instead of like a rehash. I hope I'm making sense. There's no way to ease this situation and tension. So Tonks is crying silently into a handkerchief, and Harry knows that she was the closest to Mad-Eye. Hagrid's also crying into a handkerchief, but this is the size of a tablecloth. Now, I know we are in a serious situation, but
bring it.
I need to make a confession. I did not know how handkerchief was spelled. because it's just not like in my everyday life. And I feel like the way that we say it here in the great state of Ohio,
in the great Midwest,
I thought it was handkerchief.
How are you supposed to say
it's handkerchief?
Do you literally say that?
I don't know. But I need to know, how did you say it? Looking at the spelling, the real spelling, and then saying it are two different things for us. It's got to be. At least it was for me.
I knew how it was handkerchief. Spelled, handkerchief. But I always said handkerchief.
Handkerchief.
Yeah, same.
But actually, like, more than anything.
It's more, like, hand. I'll get to it. It's crazy.
More than anything, it was just called a hanky. In my realm maybe of that's knowing.
Why I got the hanker.
Yeah. Chief. I've always known it as a hanky because my Gram used one all the time.
My grandpa had one. I'm like, that's disgusting, bro.
And my dad used to use them. He stopped.
But and I apologize if you them like them.
All the time.
Nah, dude.
Get a tissue. But anywho.
Yeah.
I looked up hankybook.com.
Handkerchief around
the world. It's literally hankybook. Are you ready?
Yeah. Yes.
Ancient times. Faraway lands. The story of the handkerchief, or handkerchief, if you will, originates in various places simultaneously. We're all human, so we all sweat the same. That's not true at all. We don't all sweat the same.
I tell you, I can sweat, dude, okay?
Archaeological evidence has been found in China from 1000 BC showing figurines from the Chow dynasty holding pieces of cloth. This was thought to have been the practical purposes of shielding their faces from the sun or using it pretty much in the way that we use a traditional handkerchief today for blowing noses, wiping a brow of sweat, or cleaning up a spill. Even from time in memoriam, there is an endless utility for a personal cloth. Roman culture is awash with references to handkerchief. It would be quite a spectacle to see hundreds of Romans waving their handkerchiefs in the air at public games. Handkerchiefs were also used as the, quote, starting gun for chariot races. I feel like everybody sees that scene in Greece where they're racing.
Right? Yes.
We're racing for pinks. As a trade along the Silk Road boomed between the 14th and 15th centuries, goods as well as culture were exchanged between Europe and Asia. This included headscarves that doubled as hankies. There you go, Megan. Handkerchiefs were also found in Middle Eastern culture. I don't know how to say that. Do you know how to say that? Uyghur communities?
The link open. I can check really quick.
Uyghur. If anybody in the chat knows how to say that, that'd be great. Turkish culture and among many other cultures around the world throughout history. Their purpose ranged from preserving a sacred band... performing the sacred bandaging of wounds, signaling others, serving as a wallet for coins, or serving as a decorative and ritual purpose. So, yeah.
Did you read the part in that article? It says, instead of texting each other, we on for tonight with the numbers, a woman could suddenly hold her handkerchief in the middle while she was had the attention of someone.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's good old funny. Hankies. And Hagrid's got a large one, and it's probably, I know it says tablecloth size, it's probably just a tablecloth. Like, can
probably,
you be real?
Yeah.
It's probably just a tablecloth.
Very true.
All right. Back on.
Mike P says, pronounced Uyghurs, still slightly mispronounced in my Midwest accent.
Thank you for your help, Mike. So Bill walks over to the cabinet and he takes out a bottle of fire whiskey and some glasses. 12 glasses were sent floating to the people in the room. They took a toast, a sip for sadness, if you will, to Mad-Eye. And I invite everyone of you all in the chat in my room in front of me.
We're ready.
If you're driving, please be careful. But yeah, so let's all take a sip for sadness. To remember Alistair Mad-Eye Moody, To Mad Eye.
And if you're drinking, please make sure that it's just responsible coffee or water or pop.
If you're an adult, 21 and over, you may have other things.
But not if you're driving.
Cheers to Mad Eye Moody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Peach wine just for Moody.
Oktoberfest.
Down with Judy. Oh, man. It's the end of an era.
Judy's been gone for a while, Katie.
I know, but...
I know, I'm just kidding.
He tainted his name.
He did. Mm-hmm. He did.
All right. Quote, the fire whiskey seared Harry's throat. It seemed to burn feeling back into him, dispelling the numbness and sense of unreality, firing him with something that was like courage. All right. So we all know that alcohol can have various effects on people. Liquid courage is sometimes referred to like alcohol. Mm-hmm. But I am wondering, since we are in a magical universe, does fire whiskey have some magical properties that actually make Harry feel these things more than just alcohol?
Puts a fire in his belly.
Yeah.
Literally.
What do you think? Yeah, I think it could.
I mean, he feels pretty immediately. I mean, you don't get that from just a shot. Right. You know?
Well, yeah. And like, we do know that fire whiskey is a magical.
Right.
Like, it's a Wizarding World beverage.
Like, right. It's not like it's fireball. It is actually fire whiskey.
Fireball.
Yeah, I could accept that headcanon.
Ooh, Nope Rope says maybe it's like chocolate.
I like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Although, let's not lean on that.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything in moderation.
Right.
But I do like the headcanon that, or I don't know, maybe the author has said it somewhere. I never looked that up, but it just feels like there might be something more. So back to the situation at hand, because we all have to figure this out. The atmosphere changes drastically at this point from one of mourning to one of speculation, fear, and betrayal. Quote, I know what you're thinking, said Bill, and I wondered that too on the way back here, because they seemed to be expecting us, didn't they? But Mundungus can't have betrayed us. They didn't know there would be 7. Don't you dare take a drink. Harry's. That confused them the moment we appeared, and in case you've forgotten, it was Mundungus who suggested that little bit of skullduggery. Why wouldn't he have told them the essential point? I think Dung panicked. It's as simple as that. He didn't want to come in the first place, but Mad-Eye made him, and you know who went straight for him. It was enough to make anyone panic. Very valid, Bill, and very logical and well thought out.
Yeah.
But there's literally no way that any of them are going to be able to figure this out without having the inside information that Harry gets from Snape's memories. There's just no, he's the only person who knows.
I just, like, I think that in this moment of like hurt and like potentially betrayal, that is genuinely like so logical for him to come to this though. Yeah. And not immediately just be like, well, it was Mundungus.
I hate Mundungus. We because have to kill him or capture I think, him or whatever.
Yeah. Like I just think that would be the natural reaction in this moment to automatically blame Mundungus.
It's and very level headed of a Gryffindor to think that way.
It is. Yeah. And I just wonder if he might have a little claw in him as well.
Mm, yeah. I think he values that. I feel like Fleur very much feels like she would be claw.
Yeah.
To me. So I know at some point it's going to, I would hope at least, it would come up in conversation post-war. And Harry would let them know the truth about what happened with Mundungus. Even if I do think that he is a nasty individual. Yeah. He obviously has his own baggage. We talked at length about that in his Felix files.
Yeah.
Should he have been there this night and forced into this? Absolutely not. But yeah, I hope that Harry lets them know, like, hey, he wasn't to blame for that.
This you mean
is,
like later?
This is what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope that it would come up in some sort of conversation. Is it number one that has to be talked about? No. But I feel like it would give a lot of them closure to that issue.
I think at least like within the Weasley family, that would come up at some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, just like
rehashing and
being around friends and family. Rehashing this. I'm sure that he would talk about it.
Yeah, definitely getting it all out. Okay. So, quote, "You know who acted exactly as Mad-Eye expected him to," sniffed Tonks. "Mad-Eye said he'd expect the real Harry to be with the toughest, most skilled Aurors. He chased Mad-Eye first, and when Mundungus gave them away, he switched to Kingsley." And like I was talking about in the last episode, this is exceptionally terrifying for Hermione to have been partnered with him. And I think about we talked about this last time, so we really don't need to get into this, but like, why Hermione was chosen as second partner to the second strongest, you know, and how much thought was put into that and who was partnered with who. And I assume that Mad-Eye did the partnering, was like lead on that mm-hmm. conversation, but he must have seen something in her.
I just like find it interesting that the author said
that she's not into battle and.
But I just like
yes and no. She has trouble producing the Patronus in real situation. But she seems very quick. I mean, she
knows what to try.
She's quick with Devil's Snare in the very beginning. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, I know obviously the author's going to know her character better than I think I know Hermione, but
right.
But the way that I view Hermione, I disagree with that assessment. And I think that, like, yes, she is very book smart and she is very much like, I know what to do. But like maybe in the moment, occasionally she'll fumble or something like that just because like maybe
I think she
is overthinking it sometimes.
Yeah. She's not as gut and go like right. Harry.
But like this is like planned. Mm-hmm. So I think that because she knows what the plan is, she herself can potentially plan
spells out.
Right.
I'm going to use this for the. I guarantee she probably had notes.
For sure. Yeah. So I feel like she would do better in this situation. Mm-hmm. And maybe Mad-Eye saw through that and he knew. He was like, if we tell. Because, I mean, he's a trainer for Aurors, right? Like, he can probably see talent in people.
And they also didn't think that anything was going to happen this evening.
Right.
Right.
You know,
but you always have to plan that it might.
Exactly.
And like mm-hmm. Mad-Eye would definitely know to plan that way. Mm-hmm. Act as if it is going to happen and who would be best with who. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh,
I love what Janine just said. I agree. I think Hermione is neurodivergent in some way. Like, I totally think that she is potentially on the spectrum and I think that she like shows and portrays that well. She like needs the plan. She dives headfirst into things. I think she can hyperfixate, aka spew. It's a little bit of a hyperfixation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That'd be definitely something to explore. That spectrum is very large.
For sure.
And there are so many differences among them. But, yeah, definitely.
I could see it.
Something to think about. We're Fleur.
Fleur.
Fleur is back to getting to the point of who was the person who betrayed them. Who was careless. Who let the info slip to an outsider. And so she's glaring around at all of them. Tears are stained on her face. And there's not one person in this room that is daring to contradict her. Because she's going off of what she believes is the only logical explanation for what happened tonight. And it's silent. And Hagrid breaks the silence by hiccuping. And Harry turns to look at him. And Harry kind of goes into his own thoughts and he's thinking about the man who loves him so much and who he loves so much and he trusts him. But this person was also tricked by Voldemort once before in exchange for a dragon's egg. Shout out to Sorcerer's Stone.
That's like such a grown-up thought process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because again, we're thinking like, a Gryffindor's perspective is going to maybe be to jump to some conclusions before taking a step back and sorry, no offense, and like thinking of an actual like logical. I mean, it is logical to like want to blame someone, but also even further, like actually zoom out and look at this whole situation and be like, we're in wartime.
Zoom out.
Yeah.
That's the new take a step back.
Zoom out.
Take a step back.
I love that.
Zoom out.
I love that.
In his own head, Harry hears what he's like thinking. Like it kind of clicks. And remember, the room is silent. Harry goes, "No." He said it aloud and they all looked at him surprised. The fire whiskey seemed to have amplified his voice. "I mean, if somebody made a mistake," Harry went on, "and let something slip, I know they didn't mean to do it. It's not their fault," he repeated it again, a little louder than he would have usually spoken. That's got to be magical properties.
Yeah, for sure. He's like one shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry's a lightweight.
Same. "We've got to trust each other. I trust all of you. I don't think anyone in this room would ever sell me to Voldemort." And there in that last sentence brings up Wormtail again.
Brings up
saying
who?
Him. Wormtail.
Oh, right.
Wormtail again. All of this relates back to Lily.
Well, you know that is Remus's thought process right now.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he is struggling so hard with trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because it bit him in the butt the last time, you know? Like, yeah.
Nobody likes a touche bite.
And to be fair, okay, so like I totally agree with what Harry's saying here. But to be devil's advocate, it is a little naive in the same sense. You know, kind of like what Lupin is thinking. It is naive to just blindly be like, "No, I trust everyone in this room."
Yeah.
Well, yes, that is true. But also, Wormtail was fully expected to be trustworthy. Mm. And there was no reason for them really to think otherwise. They were best friends. I mean, it's just a hard
Wormy
situation.
Wormy was here last weekend and he seemed a little down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Did he know that was the last time he was going to see Lily and James alive?
Probs.
Is that an almost quote? Yeah. What of it?
If you want to take the other side of it too, like Snape should be trusted, but nobody does trust him.
Correct. Yeah.
Mm. Well.
It's just interesting.
Lopped off George's ear. Mm.
Yeah. You know, it's war.
Well, he has to be believable, right? And if
Make
he can
believable.
And if he can harm without killing, to him, that's doing what he needs to do.
And that was under Dumbledore's direction, by the way.
Correct.
Make it believable.
Yep.
For the greater good.
Oh, my man.
Cut off George's ear.
He probably said that.
He did.
Cut off the ear.
So after saying this, it kind of exactly what we were just talking about, like Lupin looks uncertain. Okay, Harry, everyone's staring at Harry and he starts to feel hot from the attention. So he takes another drink of fire whiskey. And Fred and George immediately speak up after that say that they agree with Harry. But mm-hmm. that's when we see Lupin starting to look a little uncertain. And Harry notices. And we could say that this is maybe the fire whiskey, but I think that this is just some pent-up frustration as well.
I mean, they let it out.
It's
later.
Slowly building.
Harry literally rips him at Grimmauld Place.
It's slowly building.
He sees the shadow of the wolf on Lupin's face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the first time. That's how angry Lupin is.
Yeah.
At truth. That is not too kindly spewed his way.
Yeah. But Harry calls him out. He goes, "You think I'm a fool?" And Remus says, "No." He thinks that he's like James.
AKA.
You're a fool.
A fool.
Yeah. That's Remus's way of being like, no, don't use that word. But you have to remember what got your father killed. and it was trusting his friends. But that is such a slippery slope. That thought process is such a slippery slope. Like, if you don't have your friends in these kinds of moments, who do you have? And you can't do this alone, especially mm-hmm. Harry. He can't do this alone. He has to be able to trust Ron and Hermione.
Yeah.
And the Weasleys.
And that's what Dumbledore didn't do. Correct. You know what I mean? And he never fully trusted Harry because Harry didn't have all the eggs in one basket.
Right.
He never fully trusted Snape. Snape never had all the eggs in one basket.
Right.
Everybody's got eggs from different places.
From Dumbledore, you mean?
Yes. And it's like...
Dumble eggs.
Harry knows... It's so funny because Harry knows what he wanted Dumbledore to do for him, but still, in the end, Harry does what Dumbledore does. When he gets Neville to be the third on the plan, he still doesn't tell him why.
Right.
So not all the information can be there. So it's like Harry almost coming to some sort of closure before he dies that... Dumbledore was I know I'm sorry to everybody who's gonna be like what, well you already know because I love Dumbledore, that Dumbledore did what he needed to do to get the job done, and Harry knew that it was painful, but Harry does what he needs to do to get the job done even though it's painful.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm absolutely not sorry. Can I clarify something in the chat really quick, because I don't want listeners to think it, because I'm probably sure they will. Mike said, didn't Snape's memories show that Snape was aiming at a Death Eater's hand with Sectum Sempra but missed and hit George? Yes, we know that, but we were joking with Dumbledore being like, lop George's ear off.
Right.
Sorry if that got confusing for anyone. And Mike, I apologize.
Yeah.
You know what else is frustrating about Remus is like there's two sides to his trust. Yes, he got burned by Wormtail, but also like a lot of people thought that he was...
Correct.
What? No.
They didn't trust him.
They didn't trust him.
Yeah.
Remus didn't trust Sirius, but he should have trusted Sirius because that was a whole thing.
So it's like, so it's almost
like... Yeah. So when they get to the Shrieking Shack, he's like ready to do some damage,
right?
And then it has to be proven,
right,
that Wormtail's really, or that Scabbers is really Wormtail.
So it's like, I know you got burned, but also like you kind of burned people too. So like you should just.
Learn from you your should mistakes trust your friends. As well.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, a story of untrustworthiness.
Literally.
So Harry's mad because of what Remus just says. And he wants to argue. Mm-hmm. And Remus does not. He says what he says and he turns away. And I think that the start of this book leads up to his explosion at Remus very well.
Yeah.
But I also just want to say that I really feel for Remus right now because he's probably feeling so much deja vu and he's now alone from his friend group. Like, he's literally the only one left.
Mm-hmm.
Like Katie was just explaining, like, he doesn't have the person he should have trusted and he can't, he's trying probably to prove now that he is trustworthy and because he wasn't trusted the last time. And it's just like this never ending cycle for him. And I just feel bad.
Yeah.
It's all garbage.
It's just sad. But I mean, it's what it needs to be, you know?
Yeah.
So Lupin and Bill say that they're going to go recover Mad-Eye's body. And there's some pushback. But Bill makes a good point. He's like, well, we need to go now unless... you all want the Death Eaters to take it, but unfortunately we know that they're already too late for that, right?
Yeah.
It's just like disgusting to think about what they do to him because they clearly strip him of valuables and personal artifacts because we find his eye later.
Wait, what? What are you saying about me?
What?
Oh, you were like, name. I like Dumbledore. And everyone's like, what? New information.
What you do?
No, my name is in your notes.
Oh.
Me?
Yeah. Oh, right here. Sorry.
Oh, I'm just talking about how this is a Gryffindor trait.
Yeah.
So Harry says what Harry's about to do is very Gryffindor right now. So Harry says he wants to go too and help look for Mad-Eye. And like...
Sorry.
My dude. That is so dumb.
What they all just did to get you here.
Mad-Eye just died to get you where you are. Mm-hmm. The very last thing Mad-Eye would want is for you to go find his body.
Yeah.
And he's just like, but I can't stay here. And everyone's like, well, you better.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
Because Mad-Eye just died and we all nearly died to get you here. And Mrs. Weasley is the one who's arguing with him, but soon it is almost everyone. Yeah. And I just wanted to point out that, like, he is very much feeling survivor's guilt right now.
He feels it every time.
For sure.
Every death.
But I think that, like, this time
except for Quirrell.
Yeah.
This time, I'm telling you, we're never getting back together.
Oh.
Ever, ever, ever. Leaving the Weasley's house. We are never, ever, ever.
Does Mrs. Weasley ever leave?
Does Mrs. Weasley what?
Ever leave. That's a sad thought, because I don't really think that she goes.
That was a sad
thought.
I
hope she gets to go shopping sometimes.
Diagon Alley is pretty gross.
Yeah, not right now.
It's like Nocturne Alley, take two.
So survivor's guilt. This is from mentalhealthcenter.org. Survivor's guilt is a psychological condition that is most commonly associated with individuals who are there first during a crisis. So it happens to a lot of, like, first responders. Survivor's guilt may also be associated with those who have survived traumatic events or lost people who are close to them. They lead to feelings of deep sorrow, disbelief, occasionally even a sense of accountability. This is literally Harry. Mm-hmm. I think it is hitting extra hard this time because it affected a lot of people, and someone who they thought was untouchable is now gone.
Right.
Like, Mad-Eye was, like, invincible to them, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I think as well, he is constantly just thinking about how him being there is just a constant, like,
threat.
Yes. It's a constant threat to everyone who's in that house. Mm. And while, yes, the point of it was to get him there to keep him safe, he also knows that the burrow has a massive target on it, even mm-hmm. if they don't know he's there. They know he could be there, and they are going to be watching it, and he is scared for every person's life who is at the burrow.
Yep.
So it's just like a lot of layers of survivor's guilt.
Like an onion?
Like an onion. Like an ogre.
Like a survivor's onion.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man. I am going to need this question answered at some point. Because I know she didn't go and get it herself. How did Miss Dolores Jane Umbridge come upon owning the eye?
Who's that guy that was, like, always with her down in the dungeons that was the Death Eater?
Yaxley.
Yaxley. What was my voice?
I don't know.
I wonder if she got it from Yaxley.
But no. Why?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess they know the purpose, or, like, they know what it does, and
they would.
There was
him
probably
being an Auror.
A lot of rebellion going on within the ministry.
It seems very much like a power signal to put that on her door.
Yeah.
Yeah, a gross
one. Just to, like, keep people in line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the telescope behind it.
Oh, someone said, did she buy it in the black market? Like, how she got the locket. I didn't think that she obtained the eye that way. She obtained the locket that way.
She got the locket from dung.
Yeah, I don't know.
She uses a telescope on the other end to spy on the workers making the pamphlets. So I assume that would be the only way you could use it would be to put some kind of instrument on the back of the eye.
Yeah, and magic it somehow.
Yeah, so I can see her standing there inside her office, little squat self, looking through her little telescope and spying on the workers. How she got that, I could see her, because we know that she's not a Death Eater, but she's just as good as, just almost like how Voldemort's not essentially Minister of Magic, but he's just as good as.
Right.
I just wonder how she got it. It feels as if she maybe blackmailed someone or threatened someone in some way. It feels very much like Gryffindor's sword and Bellatrix Lestrange and the way that she obtains that from, you know, I reckon it's mine. I found it. Well, Crucio, now it's mine.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't see her playing like physically dirty for the eye, but she definitely she gets her way around.
Yeah.
You know? It's just interesting. I really wish I knew the story behind that because it's so random. It feels random to me.
Yeah.
It does, but it's also not surprising. Like
I could see somebody else, some other Death Eater having it.
And then she just swindled it out of them somehow.
She does something. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think it's like a, I don't know. She got it with some kind of skullduggery, right?
What a mm-hmm. bee.
What a bee.
What a bee.
A bee.
A bee.
Mm-hmm. Catherine.
Okay.
Oh, God, I give you such sad things.
Yes, you do.
I apologize.
It's not your fault. So where the chapter falls, it's fine. So, yeah, it's silent, and Mrs. Weasley tries to make the situation a little lighter and says, "Where's Hedwig, Harry?" And, like, suggests that he go take her to get something to eat and be with Pig. Mm. And Harry literally cannot answer her. Like, he can't. He can't hash that out. Can't tell anyone about it. The only person who knows is Hagrid right now, right?
Yeah. She had a good long life.
Yeah.
Not really, though.
And
not really.
Tonks's parents.
Yeah. Yeah. So he drinks more fire whiskey instead. And do you think... I have the wrong person here. Meg corrected me before. Thank you. Mm. Do you think that, like, Mrs. Weasley or anybody has, like, any idea what happened because he doesn't answer? Like, do you think they're like, whoa, like, what happened to Hagrid?
I'm sure they get it.
Hagrid might. I feel like when Harry goes off, I feel like Hagrid would probably fill her in.
Like, hey, guys, you know?
Yeah.
That's not.
Sad tweet.
That small wee bird.
Sad hoot.
It is a sad hoot.
Hagrid does jump in and tries to change the subject. And this is, like, the most Hagrid way of spinning it, too. He, like, says, like, wait till it gets out that you escaped and fought Voldemort off again when he was right on top of you.
That's how everybody thinks, though. He is a rallying point, you know?
He's the Mockingjay.
The boy who lived it.
The Mockingjay.
Did it again.
Yeah. But we all know.
What?
I don't know.
What?
I just tried what? To. No, you didn't bring up Twilight, so I had to.
Episode's not over.
Also, that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, she does kind of
be quiet.
Have a good ending.
I don't remember.
She
how
unlocks
it is.
A power.
What? Really?
Protects them all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
She's what is it called?
A shield.
A shield. She's a shield.
Of course she is.
That's why Edward couldn't read her thoughts as a human.
Oh my God.
Right.
Also, that's not cool. To just randomly read someone's thoughts. It's like reading a diary. Just saying.
Yeah.
Not cool.
Betrayal.
Can you even help
it
though?
Too.
Can you even help it though?
Yeah, like, I don't think Queenie can help it.
Like, that has... I can't even wrap my head around that.
Has to be so loud. Man, I would just want silence sometimes.
Oh my God. Mm. Anyway. We all know Harry doesn't like... He has the hero complex, but he doesn't ever, like, want to be viewed as a hero. Mm. Like, he doesn't do it for the glory. He does it because it's right.
Yeah.
So he's uncomfy with this.
What does Dumbledore say? Like, those that are best fit to lead are those that have that position thrust upon them rather than the ones who go to seek it.
Yeah.
Something to that effect.
With great power comes great responsibility.
And he, I feel like, definitely is a wonderful leader.
Yeah. I mean, look what he did with Dumbledore's army.
Mm.
You know? Should have been a teacher.
Just like, yeah. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Genuinely should have been a teacher.
That I hope when really he retires sad. From... horror stuff.
Yeah.
He does become a teacher.
Yeah. I feel like he will.
I just don't see him as an horror.
I don't like him as an horror.
Like, I know he wanted to be that, but after all he went through, Harry Potter in my head canon, he would need rest and he would want to do for other students what Lupin did for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
In his honor.
100%.
You know what I mean? I just don't see him as being a wizard cop.
Mm-mm.
I like what Dusty first said too, like a teacher or a pro Quidditch player. He should have had fun and been a pro Quidditch player.
Wouldn't
it
have been so cute if he and Jenny.
Or if he was like a Quidditch coach or something, you know? Be cool.
Oh, Mike, 100%. I picture Harry as one of those teachers that loves teaching but procrastinates in grading papers and homework. I feel that in my soul.
He does procrastinate with the papers as
he
a
does.
Horror.
It is. If you see or read Cursed Child, it's like pretty bad paperwork.
Like, Hermione comes in and was like, you gotta do this stuff. Okay, so Hagrid's talking about how Harry defeated Voldemort again, right? And Harry tells them, like, it wasn't me. My wand did something all on its own. And there's, like, a few moments of silence, and Hermione's like, no, that's impossible. You mean that you did magic without meaning to. You just reacted on instinct, which you would think, because Harry is very good at that. And Harry tells them, like, no, like, literally, I couldn't have told you what was going on. Like, the bike was falling. My wand just did this spell out of its own accord. And even Mr. Weasley jumps in and is like, well, sometimes, like, when you're pressured, you can do magic you never thought of before. And Harry's getting mad because he knows what happened and nobody's listening to him. So he's like, it wasn't like that. His scar is, like, burning. He's angry and frustrated, which we actually know. So he has every right to be mad that nobody's listening to him, but he's angry because Voldemort's angry right now, right?
Mm.
It's the Horcrux.
Ah!
Oh!
Is it?
It's the Horcrux!
So no one says anything.
But he probably is still just frustrated.
Yeah, but I think it's amplified because
Absolutely.
Voldemort's ticked.
His, like, threshold has been lowered.
Yeah.
Of, like, how much he'll take before he just, like, explodes.
Yeah. Plus, like, whenever I'm in pain, like, I can hardly think of anything else except the fact that I'm in pain. It makes me very grumpy.
Makes me think of the lead character in Elemental. What's her name?
Ember.
I'm pretty good at, like, compartmentalizing when I'm in pain, and I think that probably comes from
so is Meg. I'm not
pregnant and having all those Braxton Hicks contractions constantly in the third trimester, and then just, you know,
I get horrible
shooting
cramps
a baby out in general,
so I feel like I too can compartmentalize that.
Yeah,
I won't even, like, I'm like, Meg, you need to tell me when you're feeling like that bad, because you don't look it.
My favorite thing that I do that is terrible is just pretending I don't have a sports injury when I do.
Pretending what?
Pretending I don't have a sports injury when I do.
Oh, shit.
Like, when I had to rest my shoulder for weeks because I literally couldn't do this.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then my hand, you remember my hand? Because I held those weights for
the
so
grip.
Long. I must have pulled something.
Yeah.
I still, I can't do push-ups. I have to put more pressure on the outside of my hand rather than near my thumb.
Hmm.
So I kind of don't do push-ups. I pick other things. Same, Mia.
Yeah.
What's an injury? Never heard of her. It makes me frustrated. And that's why sometimes I think, like, I need to make sure my body is in this for the long haul. Because my brain can't take it if my body says no.
I understand.
And I would need intense help. So I have to try and keep this functioning.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
We're in it for the longevity and health and wellness, friends. Mm-hmm. That's what we're in this.
Feeling good. Harry's not feeling good, though, because the scar hurts really bad.
Oh, man.
It's described as searing with pain. So he says something about, like, needing fresh air. He goes outside. He's thinking about Dumbledore, and this is sad. He thinks Dumbledore would have believed him. He knew it. He would have known why Harry's wand had done what it did, because Dumbledore always had answers. So Harry starts spiraling. But Dumbledore, like Mad-Eye and Sirius and his parents and his poor owl, they were all gone. And Harry could never talk to them again.
He says, "Womp."
I know. It says okay, he feels a Meghan. Burning in his throat that had nothing to do with fire whiskey. Because he wants to cry.
That was really the most sad. Cheerful weep womp I've ever weep heard in womp. My life. Weep womp.
It makes me want to just go, a wee ma womp, a wee ma womp, a wee ma womp, a wee ma womp.
Are you done?
Are your eyes watering?
Yeah. Can I have some more wine?
Sure. Here you go.
I don't think you need any more.
Always.
So let's jump into Voldemort's head.
I love that. Thank
Yay.
You.
Yay. Out of nowhere, the pain in his scar spiked. Nope, it peaked. I combined those words. A voice speaked. Screamed in his head. So this is Voldemort and Ollivander. And Voldemort says, "You told me the problem would be solved by using another's wand." So this vision bursts into his mind of an emaciated old man, Ollivander, lying in rags on a stone floor. And he's screaming unendurable agony. Sure, this is like Crucio on Max, right?
Yep.
And he's begging him. And Voldemort's like, "You lied to Lord Voldemort, Ollivander.
You lied."
Do you think that the pain Harry feels with his scar is similar to Crucio?
Do you think he can feel that Crucio pain?
Yeah.
Like this literal pain?
Why not?
But probably. Most times he describes it as his head being split open.
Split open.
That's like really how it's described a lot.
I picture like a grape whenever it splits.
That's terrible, Megan Petras.
I'm sorry.
I kind of picture like a notch cut out of a cherry. You got the pit in the middle. It's like your brain.
I just picture a grape, how like the skin just splits like in a perfect straight split, and then like everything comes out.
What's with you and fruit?
She's drinking fruit wine.
I guess.
Whoever heard of fruit
wine? I picture
wine?
It like a peach.
You called it liquid stink this morning.
What?
It's from Schitt's Creek. Oh. Oh my god. So Ollivander is saying, "I didn't lie to you, I swear I didn't." And Voldemort
didn't.
Accuses him of trying to help Harry, to help him escape Voldemort. And he says, "I swear I did not, I believed a different wand would work." And he's telling him to explain it. We find out Lucius's wand is destroyed.
Sucks
now
to
that's
suck.
A weep womp.
That's a weep womp wand. Ollivander says, "I can't understand. The connection exists only between your two wands."
Lies.
And he's like, "Please, I beg you." And
I just don't think it's the wands. I don't think it's the wand.
Think what's the wand?
This connection. It's the protection, I think.
How can it be the wands? Because we talked about this last episode and I can't remember what we got to, but
I feel like it is the wands. But it's also the souls.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, so they have that twin core.
The Horcrux
and
connection.
the blood connection, and that that's my master.
Between
I'm not going to attack
Voldy
him.
And Harry, and me.
Don't involve us in that.
Na 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 na.
Let her finish. God.
Now Horcrux.
I have to put Louie to bed.
Are you going to sing her the Horcrux connection?
Yeah, sing her the Horcrux connection.
She'd be like, "Mom,
what are you talking about?" So Harry sees Ollivander writhing in agony on the floor. Right? Great.
We were just laughing.
I know.
He's getting tortured.
Torture. Suddenly it's over. Harry's back to the burrow, seeing what Harry sees. He's shaking, his heart's racing, his scars tingling. And it's a few
sweaty
moments.
Sweaty already.
Yeah.
Mom spaghetti.
Yeah.
He's nervous.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out how. Calm and ready to drop bombs, but he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down.
I was trying to connect that, so thank you. He doesn't even realize Ron and Hermione are there. And Hermione's like, why don't you come back in the house? And Ron's like, I think Hermione's like, you're not leaving, are you? Because Harry was just like talking about peacing out. And Ron tells him he's got to stay. And Harry tells them about Ollivander right away, which I'm very proud of him for doing that. And Hermione says, but it was supposed to have stopped your scar. It wasn't supposed to do this anymore. You mustn't let that connection open up again. Dumbledore wanted you to close your mind. Harry, he's taking over the ministry and the newspaper and half the wizarding world. Don't let him inside your head, too.
Hermione!
He is me and I am him.
No, this to me, she makes me angry. Okay? This whole... You have to stop it. You have to stop it. That's like saying, relax.
Yeah.
Relax. Yeah.
Not only that, though, that connection, like...
I mean, it serves its
wins
purpose.
Wins the war. Realistically.
She really... I love her. Don't get me wrong. She irritates me to all get out with this whole scar thing and telling him to shut down this connection. Can you...
Yeah.
Can you just not... And yeah, can you realize that, yeah, your friend doesn't need you to yell at him right now about
this. Needs
your
support. Yes. Look at him. He's sick
shaking.
And shaking.
Yes. Right. He's got his mom's spaghetti on his sweater already.
His best friend's mom's spaghetti in his sweater already.
I just, like, I can't with this in this time. And when she brings it up again at 12 Grandma Place and he's in the bathroom, she's like, I know what you're doing. It's like, well, he wouldn't feel like he would have to hide from you if you would just, like... Support him.
Read the room, Hermione.
It really gets me.
But also, I think she's acting in what she believes is Harry's best interest because she's trying to protect him because he's her best friend.
He
but
outright tells her he cannot stop this.
Right.
And then she says, you know, what do you like having this connection? Yeah, do you? Yeah,
yeah,
I love seeing people get tortured. Like... It's just,
that's almost like victim blaming.
We need to stop and think about what we're saying and what we're thinking. And I get that she means well, but, you know, there's meaning well and there's making mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't enjoy this Hermione moment. So
it's not her best moment.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Katie K asks, how... heartbroken were you when Mad-Eye died?
I was upset. Like, I think I said this last time. It's like that ever constant strong somebody that there's no way that they won't be around.
I think
like
I
my
was
grandfather,
just like,
you know? I still can't believe that he's gone.
Yeah.
My grandmother, when I sit and think about it, she's not here. And that's so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Because, like... Those have been constants in my 35 years on this earth. I've never not had, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
I think that I was in that state of like, I was just so relieved it wasn't someone else.
That
sounds
so Slytherin.
I know. No, but like, seriously, I was
just
like. It wasn't
my main character.
I was the whole time I was reading this book. I was just absolutely terrified for Ron and Hermione. So anytime
Harry can die.
Well, but like I kind of like had this sense that like I knew Harry wasn't going to die. Going into the seventh book, I just like had this sense of like.
Are you a seer?
Yeah, I guess. Well, not really, because he does and then he comes back. Right. But I just like I felt like I knew Harry was safe. So the whole time I was reading this book, I was just absolutely terrified for Ron and Hermione. So anytime. Again, this is really bad, but anytime a death happened and it wasn't Ron
one of the trio.
Or Hermione, I felt relief. And, like, I did cry with Fred.
Maybe the
saddest. And Dobby.
Death.
But yeah. I still was, like...
I cried with Dobby for sure.
I still was, like, relieved that it wasn't Ron or Hermione.
I can understand that.
I don't know.
I was just shocked. Like, I was just very surprised. Because, like, what Tiffany was saying.
Yeah.
Like, rock solid
I was
character.
Seriously just like, oh, thank God it wasn't someone else.
So bad. So mean, I thought Hagrid was going to die this whole book.
I thought Hagrid was going to die in this chapter, yeah.
Mm. I mean, he may have if Harry didn't Accio him.
Right? Marguerite, do you think if Lupin had a closer relationship with Harry that he would have at least confided some of his own feelings to him?
I don't think it's appropriate.
I think that Lupin had the relationship that he intended with Harry.
I don't
think he was
worried.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa.
I jumped
to something else. What feelings? Wormtailish type of
I'm
stuff?
I'm assuming the trust feelings.
Okay, that's fine. What I was thinking about, sorry, because I was just listening to this literally like yesterday. Hermione asking Lupin if everything with him and Tonks is okay felt very uncomfortable. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because they had a student-teacher relationship. And it felt very odd.
Yeah.
And she calls him Remus. And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't like it. It felt weird to me.
I wonder if there's, like, moments with Hermione or Ron at the Burrow that, like, we don't see with Remus. Because, like, Remus and Tonks spent a lot of time coming over at separate times. Wasn't that in Half-Blood Prince, right? They would come Order. And see Mrs. Weasley. I think it was Half-Blood because it was the Burrow.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You're right.
It just felt odd.
So I just wonder if there's, like, moments with them, like, that we just don't know
I
of.
Think that the author was trying to get across that, like, it's no longer Professor Lupin situation.
Right.
We're closer than that now. But it felt uncomfy to me.
I get it.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy that.
I think that Lupin purposefully held Harry a certain distance away from him. So I.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I.
Yeah.
Harry wasn't, or Lupin wasn't worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
Do
in
I
his
think
eyes.
If they were closer, he would have confided some more? Sure. But I don't think that he ever intended to get closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he didn't think he
deserved that.
Deserved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a fun one to end it. CJ asks, what would you rather use to blow your nose than a handkerchief? Wrong answers only.
Wrong answers?
Wait, what? What's the question?
What would you rather use to blow your nose other than a handkerchief? Like, since we, like, all thought those were gross, like, a wrong answers only.
Oh,
what?
I was like, a tissue. What are we talking about?
A sponge.
Oh, that's awful.
I know.
What if you accidentally did the rough side?
Oh, no. A banana leaf.
What? Leaf?
Yeah. Okay. The big leaves.
Okay.
It would be nice and soft.
Am I tucking it in my pocket?
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know. A diaper.
That would be soft as I long know. As it's not used.
I don't think I'm wiping my nose with used diapers.
All right, give me that fan story.
All right, this is from Stacy, January 2020.
Wow, right before.
Mm-hmm.
Right before the times.
The times. Hi, I'm not usually the type to submit stories or fan mail to a podcast, but I absolutely love your podcast and obviously Harry Potter. I'm still playing catch up. I'm towards the end of Chamber of Secrets, but you all legit feel like friends. And at this point, hold on. Like friends at this point, so I wanted to write in. Some quick facts about me. I'm a Ravenclaw. My wand is Hawthorn with dragon heartstring, 12.5 inches, hard flexibility, and my Patronus is a raven. You're a Ravenclaw with a raven Patronus?
That's amazing.
Pretty cool.
Ravens are really cool.
I guess it would be an eagle. That would be like super...
It's still cool.
But it's still cool.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, I didn't get into Harry Potter when it first came out. I actually don't think I'd even heard about it until the first movie was coming out, and then I stubbornly refused to watch it because I'd seen some ad comparing it to The Wizard of Oz, and I wasn't having any of that. They're, like, totally different.
That's so funny, the things that we see.
Mm-hmm. But later in high school, I was having a rough time, and escaping through books was something I did often, so I picked them up and started in. By this time, the first 5 were out, so I binge-read them and then had to patiently wait for the rest of the books.
The worst part.
I was in boot camp for the Army this summer. They released Half-Blood Prince, 2005. On the day before graduation, we had a day to spend with our families, and I took that time to go find a copy of the book. when I had an 11-hour layover traveling from boot camp to job training. Everyone else was bummed to be stuck in the airport for so long, but I saw it as 11 drill sergeant free hours to read Harry Potter. In the summer of 2006, a friend of mine, trigger warning, died, and I went into a period of depression, and again the book served as an escape for me. Hogwarts was somewhere I could go to take my mind off things for a bit. This was also about the time my doctor diagnosed me with GAD and panic disorder. General anxiety disorder.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I would have these sudden panic attacks and be sure that I was dying. More than once during one of those episodes, along with all the other horrible thoughts about friends and family I'd miss, I remember worrying that if I died, then I'd never know how the Harry Potter story ended. Silly, maybe, but at that point, I just needed to know. I don't think it's silly. I still reread, or more often, re-listen to the books at least once a year. I have a third-generation iPod Nano that only holds the Jim Dale-narrated books on it, and I'm always a little terrified anytime I plug it into a computer that somehow they'll get wiped off and I'll have to go find them again somewhere. I find as I listen, read or listen to the story that each time I make new connections, both within the story and with what's going on in the world. And listening to you all go through it, even more questions and comparisons popped up that I'm surprised I never thought of, and I love it. Thanks for doing this podcast. I can't wait to catch up with the rest of you. Best, Stacy. Thanks, Stacy. Yeah.
I totally understand that, just like fear of plugging in something to a computer and something going wrong.
Yeah. Mine's hard drives.
Yeah, I'm so, so scared with hard drives.
Jinx, Yumi, Coke.
Whatever.
Wow. Also, I'm sorry about your friend.
Yeah.
I am glad that you find solace in this story with anxiety and your panic disorder and with the loss of your friend.
I think many of us find solace in these stories, which is why we talk about them as much as we do.
Yes.
But thank you for being here. And I wonder if you're caught up.
Yeah.
I hope that you
update, please. And thank you for your story. Ready for a joke?
Katie brought her book again.
I'm prepared. Why did the goblin quit her job at Gringotts?
I don't know why.
She had a nut allergy.
Oh. I was
funny.
Like, peanut?
Nope.
Canuts.
Canuts.
If you would like to follow us on social media, myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at The Petrus Family, and Tiffany is on Instagram and TikTok at TiffSwish_Flick. Shout out to Marguerite.
Is that real?
What?
I didn't write that in there.
I wrote it.
Oh, okay. I thought I was like, was this copied from a previous
one? No,
I
wrote
it. Good.
Marguerite won bingo for Gryffindor.
Yay.
And let's
see the house.
Oh, thank you. Every time I go to do it,
oh my God,
someone does it at the same time, and I'm sure that's me. Thank you.
Five points.
Wow. Gryffindor's in first by 5 points. Ravenclaw's in second. Hufflepuff is in third. And Slytherin is in fourth.
Woo woo.
Come on,
Lions.
Snakes.
I'm so proud of you.
Boo, Slytherin. Marguerite does win bingo a lot. She's just really good at it.
What were the squares? What was this word?
I looked at it when she posted. It
probably
was
Taylor Swift. Probably seven. Probably.
Did we talk about Taylor Swift on the episode though? I feel like we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, a little bit.
God.
Oh wait, running? No, that was before.
Yeah. No, we did before. We did during the episode too, though. Running or working out. Pour one out.
Mm, yeah.
A Swish prefect being mentioned, and then laughing at sad things.
Well,
and then the free space.
Laughing at sad things. That's embarrassing. Why are we this way?
Because that's how we deal with it.
She was also really close and actually would have also gotten it this way for the greater good. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift, Pour One Out, Universal Studios, and A Dark Marker, An Unforgivable Curse.
Wow. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Marguerite. Serving it up.
Seriously. So proud of you.
All right.
Drink to Yummy Coke.
We only deal in stomach colas.
Megan.
I love when you say Meg's name like that.
Megan.
Wrap this up. I got to go get my dog.
Yep. Oh, is it me? What's this for?
Oh.
Me. Mad-Eye and Peach Wine.
Mad-Eye and Peach Wine.
For Mad-Eye and Peach Wine.
I like that. I dig it.
This wine is awful. Get me another glass.
Well, we'll get we'll get to talk about Mad-Eye coming up later when his eye keeps an eye on the ministry. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Chuck my voice!
Bye!
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Give your bell ready, baby. Get over here, Belle.
Are you all right?
No. Okay.
That's happy. That's sad.
It changes very quickly.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.